day that you have made, delights to give you praise, and so do I. So as the sunlight meets open fields and city streets, my song will rise. So wake me up.
Hi there, everyone. This is Braden and Tally with the Voice of My Beloved podcast. We are excited to again be digging into the Hallel Psalms. We've made it all the way to Psalm 117. This is a great psalm. I think this is my children's favorite psalm.
By far.
And I think all the children around here have kind of, you know, they've all grown a really big appreciation for this song. We actually invited our children and some of the cousins to come and be on this track on the CD, on the recording that we did. So that, I think, is why they kind of, it's a really fun song as well. But it was really fun to bring the children into the studio and have them learn the song. And it was really fun for them to be a part of that. But this is Psalm 117, and such a fun psalm. It's a small one, but it's a really neat one. There's a lot in it. So Brandon's gonna get started here.
Yes. So shortest chapter in the Bible. Mm-hmm. Big message though.
Yeah.
It's calling all the nations, yeah, the entire world to praise God. Mm-hmm. So we'll jump in here to verse 1. Praise the Lord, all you nations, extol him, all you peoples. And so, as we have been with these psalms, thinking about Yeshua singing this psalm and all the nations that he's going to call to praise God. Mm-hmm. You know, so here he is, you know, about to do this work of redemption, giving his life that's going to call multitudes. We see in the book of Revelation, we're going to touch on that in a little bit, but multitudes of people praising. And so here it's like a prophetic call. Praise the Lord, all you nations. You know, I'm going to usher in the nations to praising God. Mm-hmm. And this is part of his work. Mm-hmm. Romans 15, Paul talks about this. He talks about the work of Messiah calling the nations. Starting at verse 7, it says, therefore receive one another, just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ has become a servant to the circumcision for the truth of God. He's serving the circumcision, the Jewish people, to confirm the promises made to the fathers. He came to confirm the promises made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Mm-hmm. And that the nations might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written. Then he gives these list of scriptures that talk about the nations being shown mercy. Mm-hmm. For this reason, I will confess to you among the nations and sing to your name. This is Psalm 18:49. This is David, Psalm of David. And we know that David, the scripture says that David's a prophet, and we see in the scriptures that the spirit of Messiah was on the prophet. Sometimes they make statements that are not things that they really experienced themselves, but the spirit of Messiah that was on them made these prophetic declarations. Because mm-hmm. David, you know, we don't really see him going much outside of Israel. You know, he spent some time with the Philistines and stuff, but here's a Psalm of David saying, for this reason, I will confess to you, I will praise you, could also be translated, among the nations, and sing to your name. So this is a scripture talking about us being able to praise. Yeshua in us is praising God in the nations. Mm-hmm. And then we see Deuteronomy 32:43. And again, he says, rejoice, O nations, with his people. This is quoted right out of Romans 15. But rejoice, O nations, with his people. This is something I love during Sukkot. If you've ever been in Israel during Sukkot, this is a highlight every year for me. Actually being a part of the all nations celebration, this march. They march through the streets with their banners, their national garb, and are just bringing so much joy. And I just mm-hmm. see that as a prophetic foretaste of what's to come. Rejoice, O nations, with his people. Mm-hmm. There's something so powerful, rejoicing with the nation of Israel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really neat because you know, there's a scripture that talks about all the nations coming up for the Feast of Sukkot. And so there are hundreds of nations that are represented in this march in Jerusalem. And it's just such a beautiful picture of, you know, just a little taste of what is to come, of just seeing all the different cultures, all the different nations, and how each one of them has like such a different I don't know, like
flavor,
and even like the way they express their faith and the way that they worship is so different, each of them, you know, like, and it's just, I don't know. It's like, I feel like we can really get into a box of what normal faith is supposed to look like, you know, Christians in America, it's like, it's supposed to look like this. It's supposed to be in this box of, you know, whatever it is. And it's like, I think God is so much bigger than that. And I think it's so beautiful, how he, has given little bits and pieces of himself to all the different cultures around the world, you know, and like how, as we get to know all the different, cultures and stuff, that we like see another piece of the puzzle. We like see another part of the body and understand God in a greater way, because that's like, it's who he is. These people are made in his image, and it's a piece of God, you know, as we get to know like just the, what makes these, you know, what makes the people, I don't know. It's a really neat thing. And I just wanted to add too, that, we've been talking about all these Psalms being sung during the Passover, which it's definitely, really known for that. And like we said, it's, this is where Yeshua, it's written that he sang these, but, today it's these Psalms are also, they're sung in quite a few occasions. And one of them is Sukkot. It's another big part of Sukkot. And I think it's because of this, this idea of all the nations, and, even the Jewish people have a grid for, because it's in, do you want to reference that?
Zechariah 14.
Yeah, and yeah. It's like, it's referenced there that all the nations will be coming up. And I think it's like, you know, there's...
For the Feast of Tabernacles.
For the Feast of Tabernacles. And so the Jewish people have this, you know, this grid for all the nations coming up. And so, and this psalm, obviously, it's a big part of that. And so it's really neat. All the Jewish people are singing the Hallel during this. What's another time that they sing? They sing this on Independence Day or something, right?
Also
all
the Hallel. Yeah, during the Independence Festival.
Yeah.
Establishment of Israel.
The establishment. Yeah, they sing through all these psalms as well on that occasion. So that's kind of neat.
But. Yes, that's part of our heart, and even putting them to music, is that we can join in and praising God together with the Jewish people during these special times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes, so then Paul, he goes right into Psalm 117. As he's going through this list of scripture about the nations in Romans 15, he jumps right into verse 11 and says, "And again, praise the Lord, all you nations, extol him, all you peoples." And so Paul saw this verse as connecting to God's plan for the nations. And then we go on to verse 12 in Romans 15. And again, Isaiah says, "There shall be a root of Jesse, and he who shall rise to reign over the nations, in him the nations shall hope." So, such a beautiful thing. You know, Paul, could he even fathom what things are today? You know, the millions of people, the billions that, you know, from that perspective, it's like, you know, it was a small movement at that point. But, you know, wow, the message of Yeshua has spread across the nations, and God has a huge climactic plan for the redemption of the whole world. And it's amazing to see it coming to fruition. You know, we have a lot more to see, but it's happening in our days. And so it's an exciting time to be alive. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Then Revelation 7, verse 9, just, I mentioned earlier about this, the multitudes. And so Revelation 7, 9, "After these things, I looked and behold a great multitude, which no one could number, of all nations." So it just amazes me to think about all the nations coming up to worship. It says, "Tribes, peoples, and tongues standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands." So this is another connection to the Feast of Sukkot, because this is a time when all the nations are coming up to Israel to praise God during Sukkot. And Sukkot is a time,
to Jerusalem.
Yeah, to Jerusalem, yeah. Specifically. And they've got these palm branches, which is, you know, during Sukkot, this is something that is part of the keeping of the festival, having these palm branches, you know, building your sukkahs. And so it seems to be a connection there. It says that these nations have palm branches in their hands. And just think about that. You know, we kind of have this, like Talia's saying, this certain grid for worship, faith, but these nations, these multitudes of nations are going to be, we're going to be worshiping with palm branches. It's like, it's going to be like outside the box. It's like, I know, you know, you may not have done this in church before, you know, but here's your palm branch. You're going to wave this palm branch. And, you know, think about Yeshua even coming into Jerusalem and they've got their palm branches. They're waving their palm branches. It's like a cultural thing that, you know, it's part of worship, but
it's hard to do that in Russia.
Right. Yeah. And it says that they're crying out with a loud voice saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Mm-hmm. This is worship that's going to happen. Mm-hmm. It's going to be glorious when all of our voices meld together, all these different mm-hmm. cultures is going to be incredible.
Yeah. Yeah. I love the whole, I would encourage anyone to go and actually study the references to the nations in the Bible, because there are times, you know, and I think we talked about this earlier at one point, but, you know, the nations, there's a bad connotation at times, you know, the Gentiles, because there's, you know, have chosen wickedness or God's, you know, getting, destroying them from the land or whatever, because of the wickedness and stuff. Like there's those references, but there's also like for the Gentiles, the nations that choose to align themselves with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, those nations that join themselves, to the God of Israel, though there are so many blessings for those people. And we just had this little simple book once, and it just was a list of references with all the blessings that there is for the nations that join themselves to God. And it was so encouraging. It was so neat to see that and to go, wow, that's like something that I can be a part of, you know? And so it's such a beautiful thing. Just that God gives us the opportunity to be a part of his plan, that he's given us this choice, and just how blessed we are, you know, that he's called us out, you know, called us out of the nations, in a way, out of the wickedness of the nations, to come and be a part of a holy people is such an awesome thing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So verse 2, for his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endures forever. Hallelujah. So we just want to look at this word here that's translated merciful kindness. His merciful kindness is actually one Hebrew word, chasdo. So chesed, you may have heard that Hebrew word chesed, and it's translated loving kindness, mercy, different ways in the Bible. It's one of those Hebrew words that is actually very difficult to translate, to actually capture the entire meaning of it. Mm-hmm. And one of the ways it can be translated is covenantal loving kindness. It's like love that's expressed in covenant, like marriage. You know, that love that's expressed in marriage is a covenant love. It's like an enduring love. It's not just a fickle love. It's something that's based on covenant. Mm-hmm. That we have this covenant together and we're committed to loving each other. It's not just a fleeting emotion, mm-hmm. but we're loving each other because this is part of what it means to be in covenant. Mm-hmm. And so his merciful kindness, his covenantal love is great toward us. He has made covenant with us. Another definition I heard is when the one who owes you nothing gives you everything. Mm-hmm. It's like God, the one who really owes us nothing, but he's given us everything mm-hmm. in covenant with him. The idea is when one of a higher rank reaches down to someone lower and lifts them up to their level by making covenant with them, by basically partnering with them. And so God, in his mercy, he has reached down to us. I said, I want to be in covenant with you. And then we get to share in his riches, in his power. This is an amazing, amazing word, mm-hmm. the Hebrew word chesed. Mm-hmm. So used most of the time you see the word mercy or love in the Bible, this is the word that is being is translated from, is chesed.
Mm-hmm. You know, and again, we're seeing the mercy and truth here together. Mm-hmm. Just this is, you know, how many times have we seen it now? It's like 3 times, I think, that we've seen this this come into play with the Psalms here. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so this is the reason we praise him. You know, for his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endures forever. So like you could boil it down, we are praising God. When we go into praising him, you know, personally, corporately, his mercy is so great toward us, and his truth endures. We're so grateful. We were just stirred to gratitude and thanksgiving, praise. We praise him for these things. Mm-hmm. One other thing just to point out in the Hebrew is the word here that is great toward us. That word great there is the Hebrew word gavar. And it's connected to this word in Hebrew, lehit gaber, which means to overcome. So you can also translate in the way that we actually sing it when we sing this psalm, is has overcome us. And I just love that feeling. And this is one of the ways you can translate this, is his love, his merciful kindness has overcome us. It's just like being overcome. I'm overwhelmed by the power of your love for us. Mm-hmm. And so this is one of the reasons why we praise him. We're just overcome. We can't not do it. We're just overcome with this sense of gratitude. Mm-hmm. We want to praise him.
Yeah. You know, and especially coming out of the nations, you know, it's such a great mercy, you know, because what did we deserve, you know, to be a part of this plan, you know, a part of this great picture, just shows just how merciful God is and how much, you know, I think of the story of, you know, with Yeshua, when it's talking about the lady who loves that much because she's been forgiven that much more, and just how being coming from the nations, just how much more our heart should be filled with thanks that we've even been included, that he even considered us part of the plan. You know, it's not you know, as in Romans and stuff, just talking about not being a part of the natural branches, but that he's provided a place for us to be a part of the vine still. And just what an awesome, awesome thing that is.
Yeah, well, going back to Romans 15, that's before Paul even goes into all these verses about the nations. He says that the nations might glorify God for his mercy. Mm-hmm. Like the reason the nations are so stirred to glorify God is because they're like, oh, wow, God's been merciful to me. You know, I didn't deserve to be a part of his plan, but he reached out to me in mercy. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's a powerful thing.
Yeah.
So looking at one last thing here before we wrap up, I just want to point out this powerful scripture in John 4, verse 23. So Yeshua is going through Samaria, stops right at the base of Har Bracha, the Mount of Blessing, Mount Gerizim, and has this conversation with this woman. And he says some really profound things in this conversation. I'll just read this verse here in verse 23. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. So we've talked a lot about the importance of worshiping in spirit and truth, and that's something we want to seek. But the amazing thing to me in this passage is that God is seeking something in the world. He's seeking worshipers. You know, the way he wants those worshipers is to be worshiping in spirit and in truth. But just look at that. Think about this for a moment, that God is seeking something from human beings. Mm-hmm. You know, for you out there that are listening, God's looking across the world. He's seeking a certain kind of person, a person that loves to worship, a person that is given their lives to worship. And I think that takes many different shapes. Mm-hmm. You know, the way we live our lives, the way we obey God, the way we speak of others, the way we speak to God. But, you know, when the basic element is worship in both Hebrew and Greek is prostrating yourself. It's just prostrating yourself before God. That's the true definition. The practical, the base level definition of worship is just going low before him. Mm-hmm. God's seeking. There's something that God is seeking about that position in people, that place of just humbling ourselves before him. That's an amazing thing to me, to think about the God of all creation, creator of the universe. Mm-hmm. He's seeking something. Like he's almost like he's searching. Like, you know, when you search for something, it's almost like you're wanting something. You're trying to fill something. And so it's a great mystery, but wow, God is looking for something. He's looking for people to worship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's really neat too, just the whole idea of worship, and you know, just how, I don't know, I guess we all have different thoughts in our mind. You know, when you think of the word worship, I think a lot of us think of praise and worship, like music or something like that, or you know, you can have this thought of, well, you know, I don't do music, and I'm not a good singer. I don't play any music, so God really hasn't called me to worship or something. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not a worshiper. isn't the definition of, you know, who I am or something like that. And I think that that is, I think we, some of us need our to renew our minds on what true worship is and how pretty much every choice that we make in our lives, we can choose to worship God and acknowledge him, or not. And so, just the lifestyle of worship, like I want to worship you. And the way I'm doing that is that I acknowledge your presence in my life on a minute to minute basis, you know, on a daily decision, basis. It's not worship for me, isn't an hour, you know, inside of the church service, every week. It's not that. It's like my whole life. I want my whole life to be worship before you. And I love that. And I think it's neat with the Jewish people being around them over the years, just learning, just how much they acknowledge God's presence in their life. And through blessing, they do blessings like all day long. I think they said their goal is to do like 100 blessings, you know, every, mm-hmm. every day. And, you know, they bless God for everything. And it's such an important thing for us to take that and recognize, you know, every blessing that he's given us in our lives and how that is worship before him. So it's beautiful.
Yeah. So along this lines of God seeking something, I just want to read this scripture to wrap up in 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9. It says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth." This is an amazing statement. God's eyes are roaming to and fro throughout the whole earth, to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. And I love this in the Hebrew too, because it says, "Bechol ha'aretz lehit chazek," in all the earth to be strong, "im levavam," with their hearts, "shalem elav," that are whole to him. So you could, the Hebrew could also be translated to be strong with their hearts who are complete or whole toward him. So just an encouragement to all of you out there, be wholehearted in your worship. Be wholehearted in your giving of yourself to God. He wants to show himself strong on your behalf. And I just encourage all of you, just as a parting statement, be the one that's got like the bullseye on your chest. You know, it's like he's seeking something, his eyes are running to and fro throughout the whole world, and just put a big bullseye right on your heart. And be the one that worships him, because that's the one he's seeking. He's seeking you out. He's like running, eyes running to and fro. It's like, oh, there she is. There he is. And he finds you and he gives you his spirit. He gives you his love in a deeper measure. And so be that person. Mm-hmm. You'll be strengthened. You'll be encouraged.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen. All right. This is quite a short psalm here. So we're actually going to finish up a little early. And I just wanted to take a minute and just say thank you to all of those that have sent encouragement along the way through emails and messages and stuff. Really appreciate your encouragement. And it's good to know just that people are being blessed. And so we really appreciate that. And, you know, again, if you want to share what you've heard, if it's been encouraging to you, you can share it and send links to people in different ways, whatever ways you have out there. So feel free to do that. So we're going to sign off here, and I'm going to play a little clip from 117, which we actually have a video to this online that you can go and see. It's Psalm 117, Hayavel, I think is one way to find it there on YouTube. But I'm going to just play a little clip as we sign off here. So this is Braden and Tally reminding you to listen to the voice of your beloved. There is freedom in his voice, and we were meant to be free.
Praise the Lord, all you nations. Extol him, all you peoples, for his merciful kindness has overcome us, and the truth of the Lord endures forever. Hallelujah. hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.